Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are continuing in the seventh perek of Maseches Shabbos. Today we're going to be learning Perek Zayin Mishnah Beis and Perek Zayin Mishnah Gimel as we begin to learn about the Lamatas Melachos, the 39 prohibited acts of work on Shabbos. We learned in the previous Mishnah that a person is only obligated to bring a Karban Chatas, a sin offering, for accidentally performing one of these prohibited acts of work when it comes to the Av Melachos, when it comes to the main category of Melacha, one of the 39 Melachos. If you do, for each of the Avos Melachos that you do, you need to bring a Karban Chatas, a sin offering. If, however, you perform any of the Toldos, any of the subcategories of those Av Melachos, you don't have to bring any additional Karbanos, any additional sin offerings for that. Now in Perek Zayin Mishnah Beis, very, very important, fundamental Mishnah, we're actually going to go through all of the Lamedtes Melachos, all of the 39 prohibited acts of work on Shabbos, that we know what the acts are, and that we don't perform any Averos on Shabbos, Bishogeg, or otherwise. Says the Mishnah, Avos Melachos Arbam Chatzar Achas, there are 39, there are 40 minus 1 Melachos on Shabbos that are prohibited for a person to do. Why does it say 40 minus 1 instead of just saying 39? That's a question that the Gemara deals with in Maseches Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, beginning with the group of Melachos. The first 11 Melachos are steps in the process of making bread. We call them the Sedura de Pas, the order of the bread making process. These are the first 11 Melachos that are prohibited on Shabbos. It says the Mishnah, number one, HaZoreya. Zoreya is, of course, planting. VeHaChoresh. Choresh is plowing, making a furrow in the ground, digging a hole, and so on. These are all included in the Melacha of plowing. The third Melacha of Shabbos, VeHaKotzer, reaping. What does reaping mean? So reaping refers really to detaching any growing plant from its source. So if you were to take pluck out stalks of wheat or pluck fruit from a tree, that would be under the category of kotzer, of cutting, or of reaping. Continuing in the Mishnah with the fourth Melacha, VeHaMe'amer. Ma'amer refers to gathering. Gathering is when the harvested crop is gathered into small bundles in the field. Ultimately, they'd be gathered into larger bundles later on. That is the malacha of ma'amer, of gathering. The fifth malacha is hadash, threshing. Threshing refers to detaching when you have the grain stalks in the ground, so they would detach the kernels of grain from their husks. Some of its toldos, some of its subcategories would include, let's say, milking an animal or squeezing liquid from grapes or olives or a towel, let's say, for example, squeezing any sort of salad to create liquid or taking anything from it in that way would be the category of dush, of threshing. Six, malacha vehazora, winnowing. After the kernels are detached from their husks, the mixture would be then tossed in the air with a pitchfork. The wind blows away the chaff, right, like the husks, the stems, and the leaves, leaving only the heavier kernels. And this is the malacha of winnowing, of zoreh. The next malacha is borer. Says the Mishnah, haborer, selecting, sorting, separating. That would be the malacha of borer. I'm sure many of us are familiar with it, because after winnowing, the next step in the bread making process is really picking out and removing any pebbles or any stones that are mixed along with the kernels of grain. And therefore, it would involve, let's say, when you have certain types of food. We're not going to go into the halachos now, per se, but you can't separate the bad from the good. Anything that you don't want, you can't remove it, because that would be the malacha of separating. Says the Mishnah, hatochin, grinding. This av malacha of grinding of tochin includes grinding kernels of grain into flour, pounding spices into a powder, right? Really anything where you're breaking down a large item into many smaller items, that would be the category of a grinding. And that's why, for example, chopping vegetables into really, 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 really small pieces would also be the malacha of tochin, be the malacha of grinding. Next, malacha, the ninth malacha, vehamirakid, sifting. After the kernels of grain have been ground into flour, tochin happen, the flour is then placed in a sieve, and it is shaken, the fine flour falls through the holes in the sieve, leaving on top the relatively dry and coarse pieces of the bran of the of the grain. Continuing in the Mishnah, the 10th Malacha, Vehalash, which is kneading, right, in the bread-making process. Water is poured onto the flour, and they are mixed to form a dough, and that's when you knead the dough, when you push on the dough, in order to make it all together, in order to bind all of the dough together. And the final malacha of the bread making process, sidur depas vilha ofe, baking, obviously, when you take it and put it in the oven, that is also on Shabbos as well. You can't do anything related to baking. So the first three malachos are all related to sidur depas, the order of baking bread. Now, as we continue in the Mishnah, we're going to begin the next 13 malachos that are the stages in the process of making cloth. Because again, in the Mishkan, there were a lot of begadim that they had to make. So what are the 13 malachas related to this? Number 12th malacha is Hagozez es hatzemer, shearing wool. When you have to cut wool, or you have to cut hair from a live or a dead animal, or even from animal skin that was already removed from an animal, this would be shearing. This would be gozez. This would be the malacha of shearing wool on Shabbos. The 13th malacha, hamilabno, which milabin is like whitening or washing, right? If you're cleaning wool in water, that would be prohibited. For example, if you have a stain on your shirt, it's not so simple that you can just take water on Shabbos and get the stain out on Shabbos. That would be the malacha of milabin, of washing it on Shabbos. The 14th malacha is v'haminatzpo, which literally is translated as disentangling. What does that mean? So when you have the jumbled fibers of wool, and when they're combed or they're beaten with a stick, to disentangle them, to prepare them to be spun, that is this malacha of menatzpo. Continuing, v'hatsovo, dyeing it. After the fibers of wool are washed and combed, But before they are actually spun into thread, they are first colored, whatever color you want them to be. Dyeing something a different color is a malacha on Shabbos. The 16th malacha v'hatove, spinning the thread, actually twisting the fibers together to make the actual threads, is the 16th malacha of Shabbos. Now, the next bunch of malachos, honestly, I don't fully understand, because I don't claim to be someone who does a lot of sewing, but I'll try to explain it at least to the best of my ability. The 17th malacha, v'hamesach, which literally means warping. Now, the first step of the weaving process is to basically take a number of threads and to extend them across either a loom or some sort of this weaving device, and these are called warp threads. Setting up the warp threads in preparation for weaving is the malacha of warping. That's this malacha of mesach, is warping, is setting up these threads on the loom or on the device that you're going to use to weave them. Now, we just need to understand for a moment what exactly the process is of weaving. How is it done? So first of all, after the warp threads are in place, a single thread, which is called the weft thread, is passed across the warp threads in the following way. Basically, it would be it's taken above the warp thread, below the next, above the third, and so on. It sort of goes up and down in that way. And then after it has been passed through all of the warp threads once, then it goes back. It goes in reverse, and in the reverse direction. But this time, it's going to pass over each warp thread that it previously went under, and it's going to go under each warp thread that it previously went over. Again, hopefully, a lot of the Mishnayos, they have diagrams. Hopefully, that's helpful to understand exactly what the process is. And ultimately, this is going to result in a crisscross pattern of threads, which is woven cloth. This is ultimately how you weave cloth and create it together. So that's 17 Mezach, is warping, is first putting the threads on the loom. Which literally means setting to heddles. The weaving process is made easier. It's made simpler by using a loom or other device that can raise every alternate warp thread at the same time. And the typical way to do this would be to use heddles. A heddle is basically a string or some sort of a rod or a stick that has a ring in the center. And there are several types of looms, each with a different arrangement of heddles. And that's what is done in terms of that, in terms of Osa Shnei Batei Nirin. the 19th Malacha of Shabbos, v'ha'oreg shnei chitin, chutin, which would be weaving two threads, right? The inserting the weft thread twice to the warp threads, for example, right to left and left to right, like we said, going up and down in that way. That would be the Malacha of oreg shnei chutin, weaving two threads, as we'll see. It's not just weaving bechlal at all, but it's specifically doing it two threads. Again, we'll see a few more examples as the Mishnah continues. It says the Mishnah v'ha'potseya shnei chutin, which would be removing two threads. Right? This refers to removing. This is the opposite of the previous malacha. It's not only about weaving it, but removing the two threads from being woven together. 21st malacha is kosher, tying a knot, is also a permanent knot on Shabbos, is a malacha, and the opposite is also a malacha. V'hamati, and untying the knot as well, is also considered to be a malacha. Fishing nets were typically used, as the Bartonora points out, to attract the chilazon, which is like the small fish animal, which and ultimately the juice of the chilazon was what we use, the blue dye, is what we use for techeles. So it was used for the curtains of one of the coverings of the Mishkan, and therefore these nets are made of ropes tied together with knots, and sometimes it was necessary to untie ropes from one net so that they could be added to another net. Hence, that's why both tying a knot is a malacha and untying a knot is a malacha on Shabbos as well. Continuing in the Mishnah, the 23rd Malacha, v'hatofer shtei tfiros, sewing two stitches is also a Malacha, a minimum of two passes of the needle, right, one in and one out are required for one to be liable for sewing. It has to be both in and out, like we discussed previously. And one who sews exactly two stitches is not really liable unless he ties the end together, because otherwise they will not hold, and then it wouldn't be permanent. These have to be stitches that will last. The previous malacha of kosher as well has to be, it has to be like a double knot. You're allowed to tie your shoe on Shabbos, but you really shouldn't do a double knot on Shabbos because that is more permanent. Continuing with the 24th malacha, HaKoreya al menas litvor shtei tfiros. This is the final malacha related to sewing and weaving. And this malach is tearing in order to sew two stitches. That when a small hole was found in the curtains of the Mishkan, they would make the hole bigger by tearing the fabric next to it. And then a tailor would then be able to repair the hole neatly without making any sort of issues and creases in the cloth. So that's why it's not just tearing is a malacha, although certain types of tearing might be a malacha, but it's really korea on a daraisa level, on a Torah level. It's tearing in order to do something, in order to tear, in order to actually sew, because of the greater hole that you are creating. Now we're continuing as we continue with the next seven malachos that are all going to pertain to the preparation of animal skin, right? One of the coverings of the Mishkan was made from the skin of the tachash, like this animal that really we don't really have nowadays. So now we're going to go through the various malachas that were performed in the preparation of these animal skins that were used in the Mishkan. Number one, 25th Malacha, Hatzar Tzvi, you can't trap a deer, really trap any animal on Shabbos. Hashochto, shechting an animal is a Malacha on Shabbos. Vahamafshito, skinning the animal. Hamolcho, salting its skin, was often done as the next process after skinning, and therefore that's also the 28th Malacha of Shabbos. The 29th Malacha, Vahamabed es oro, tanning its skin. The 30th Malacha, Vahamochko, smoothing its skin. And the 31st Malacha, Vahamachto, Vahamachatcho, which is then cutting the skin. Any sort of real cutting is a Malacha as well. These are the seven Malachas pertaining to the preparation of animal skins. Now the final eight malachos are just random malachos as we finish off the mission. Number one, the 32nd malacha, hakosef shtei osios, writing two letters is a malacha on Shabbos. V'hamochek almanas lichtov shtei osios, erasing in order to write two letters, like we said before, tearing in order to so two stitches of malacha. Now here, erasing, doing the destructive act in order to write. Just erasing by itself would be an isur midrabanan. But if you're writing al minas in order to write, if you're erasing in order to write, that would be a malacha on a Torah level. 34th malacha, habona, building anything, is a malacha on Shabbos. The hasoser, and then destroying. Right? They're all opposites. All of these things have a positive and a negative. The hasoser, and demolishing, destroying something as well, for a purpose, is also considered to be a melacha of Shabbos on a daraisa level, the 36th melacha of Shabbos, hamechabe, extinguishing a fire, like we learned many in Mishnayos. Previously, you can't extinguish a fire on Shabbos, even a slowing down a fire on Shabbos would be the melacha midaraisa of extinguishing a fire on Shabbos of mechabe. The 37th melacha of a hamavir, lighting a fire on Shabbos, is not allowed. Havar, that's actually the only melacha in the Torah that's actually in the Torah itself, explicitly in the Torah Shebichtav, in the written law, not only in the Mishnah. The 38th melacha is hamake bipatish, finishing something off, completing something, is considered to be the 38th melacha of makeh bepatish, and the 39th and final melacha of Shabbos is hamotzi mirishus l'rishus, bringing and carrying an object from one domain to another, from mirishus harabim to mirishus hayachid, or vice versa. This also includes carrying something for amos, like we learned, within a mirishus harabim itself. And as the Mishnah concludes, Hari Elu Avos Melachos Abraham Chaser Achas. These are the 39 Melachos of Shabbos, 40 minus 1 Melachos of Shabbos. Continuing now with Berek Zayin, Mishnah Gimel. After discussing and listing all of the 39 Melachos, now we're going to discuss many of them. As the Mishnahs continue, we're going to discuss many of them individually. Continuing from the very, very end of this list, we are going to first continue going back to what we started the Masechta with, as we deal with Hotzah, with carrying on Shabbos. Halacha is, generally speaking, a person is not obligated, is not liable, did not do an Avera for doing Hotzah on Shabbos, unless the item that he actually carried has significance, is purposeful, is meaningful, and is actually an important item. So the Mishnah is going to define what is considered to be significant. What's a Davar Chashuv in this context? Says the Mishnah, Va'od Klal Acher Amr, there's the rabbis, the Chachamim, told us another rule about Hotzah, about carrying on Shabbos. Kol HaKosher LaHatzniyah UMatzniyin Kamohu, anything that is fit for people to store, and is in a quantity that people store, is considered to be significant. And anything that someone might want to actually keep and not just throw out is considered to be significant for the purpose of Hotzah on Shabbos. V'hotziyu b'Shabbos chayav lav chatas. And therefore, anyone who carries it outside on Shabbos, one would be obligated to bring a charban chatas for it. The Mishnah is clearly teaching here that one did not do an avera for a hotzah on Shabbos unless it meets two conditions. Number one, it has to be something that people don't simply discard, that some people don't just throw out, but they might actually store and use it in the future. And number two, it has to be something that is in the amount that was carried is large enough for people to actually care about. Even if it's a very cool item that people might want to store, if it's very insignificant in terms of quantity, then that wouldn't work. It has to be significant both in terms of quantity and in terms of quality. Now the mission is finishing off and sort of doing the reverse of this rule. Any substance or material that is not fit for people to store or is not in a quantity, is not in a number that people actually care, but is not considered to be a davar chashuv, is not considered to be important or significant, and therefore if one carried it outside on Shabbos, one would not be obligated, one did not do an avera, unless again he is a person who does in fact view it as significant. So even if others don't, but you do, then you would be obligated. So if you realize on Shabbos you have in your pocket a piece of a little piece of paper that no one cares about, a small thing that no one cares about, so you didn't do the daraisa avera of carrying on Shabbos, you wouldn't have to bring carbon chatas because again the significance both in quality and quantity isn't there for that particular item. Quick review. Perek Zayin Mishnah Beis went through the Lamed Tes Melachos. We first began with the first 11 Melachos that were the Sidur, the Pas Melachos, the order of making bread. Then we went to the next 13 Melachos in the stages of making cloth. Then we went to the next 7 Melachos when it came to preparing animal skins. And the final 8 Melachos that all had both positive constructive purposes and destructive purposes as well. And then Perek Zayin Mishnah Gimel taught us that when it comes to Hotzah, carrying on Shabbos, the melacha is only involved if, number one, it's something that's qualitatively an item that people would typically store and keep for the future, and number two, it has to be something that is quantitatively something that people will want to keep for the future as well. Have a great day.